Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. I am TJ Jackson, and I don't have any brothers with me today. I have a new niece, that has kept one brother up all night, so he is not going to make it. And another brother is still not feeling so well. He may call in a bit, but he won't make it. But it's okay. I have another brother. As some of you listeners know, I have a couple other brothers. And one is sitting across from me, educator, teacher, big bro, Mr. Louis Tapia is here. He's going to be joining us with a couple other teachers to talk about the current strike that we've all heard about here in Los Angeles. And if you haven't heard about it, you must know about it. It's something that's impacting not only a lot of lives, but our precious children here in LA. So we're going to learn about it and see and figure out what exactly is going on. First, though, we are live on the Power of Love show. So if you're listening, thank you for joining us. Please feel free to call in, to chime in, give us a question if you want to talk to our guests. Make sure you call in at 323-203-0815. If you're shy, if you don't want to call in because you don't like the way your voice sounds, then you could tweet us at DDJ Foundation. That is at the letters DDJ and the word foundation. Remember, I am not a licensed therapist. I'm just an ordinary person who has experienced loss in his life. I've been impacted by it. I've learned from it. And I like to share my opinion in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, I urge you to seek it and to find it. Now, I have to say, that was strange doing it in the I. I always say we, because I usually have one brother with me. But today it was I. And actually, I'll just bring him in now because I see his number. Terrell, you're with me, huh?
Yeah.
So now we got two brothers live on the Power of Love show. So change that disclaimer.
I was trying to call in. I was on time. I just don't know why I couldn't get through.
Because I wasn't ready to patch you in, man. You know? No. Anyway.
I called.
All good. All good. You're here with us. So let me introduce our guests because this is a really important show. We have, like I said, Louis Tapia, who's a longtime family member, some of my greatest. I almost say, yes, my greatest childhood memories are always involving this guy.
I don't know if that's good.
But Louie's with us. How you doing, Lou?
I'm doing great. It's good. Thank you for having us. Yeah. This is an important topic that is very, you know, dear to me. Yeah. Ever since the day I went on tour with you guys,
yeah.
I came back and I've been teaching for the last 23 years. So yeah. It's a difficult time, but we just wanted to share some information and why we're doing it. And just, you know, to educate you on public schools.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate you coming in. And with you brought two other educators.
Yes.
Another 23-year veteran.
This is you guys always see me if you follow me or you see TJ wearing his shirts or Terrell wearing their shirts. You always see our hashtag Kindle the Passion.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my other half, my colleague, Mr. Wong. We call him the brains of the operation. he makes sure to handle all the minutiae while I go out, and I'm the face of the operation, as we like to say. So this is Gene Wong.
Gene, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
Do I need to call you Mr. Wong? Is Gene okay?
Gene's perfectly fine.
Cool. But not only is Gene with us, Lou, we have, I'm going to say, you know, he looks young. So he only has 6 years, which is still a long time teaching.
Yeah, it's a long time.
you feel it, right? Mr. Robert Salvari?
Salvari, yeah.
Salvari, okay, cool. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here, man.
Yeah, I got the invite. Really happy to be here and share our opinions. Definitely.
Cool. So I'm going to get right at it, if you guys don't mind.
Right to it.
All over the news, we're hearing about around the world, I assume, we're hearing about this government shutdown. And then, and that's been going on since December, I believe. It's been going on at least for several weeks, maybe in January, I don't know. But here in LA, the story is now about the LAUSD the Los Angeles Unified School District strike that happened, that took place, that started on Monday or Tuesday?
Monday.
Monday.
Started officially on Monday.
I mean, everywhere you go, I was throughout the city on Monday. Yeah, it was Monday. And I saw, you know, people picketing and striking. And, you know, my kids aren't in the LAUSD school district. So I haven't been as impacted by it directly. But a lot of my friends have been. You know, they're scrambling to find sitters and their kids are home. So first of all, can you just, one of you guys explain to us what is going on for us who aren't in the education field, but are hearing little whispers of what's happening?
Sure. I'll get started and then I'll let my boys over here, 'cause it's different perspectives. Robert's been in the profession, for 6 years. He knows what's been going on. Gene and I have been doing this for quite a while. So this has been a fight that is a long time coming. We just have to kind of draw a line in the sand right now, because it's a different climate out there. In California, we're the fifth largest economy in the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we spend almost $53,000 more on inmates in prison than we do on education.
I'm just confused how that can even happen.
Me too. And so that's just one of the things, you know, people, we obviously want competitive salaries or else how are we going to bring in great teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Teachers work their tails off every day, whether it's grading a paper, whether it's making a phone call, they do everything for these kids.
We have a lot of international listeners. So I would assume when they hear inmates are, you know, it's taking $50,000 more to take care of an inmate than a child or, you know, than a student. How is that even possible? How did that even fly and become, quote unquote, the norm? Is it an American issue? Is our focus more on?
If you look at it, it's all related, right? If you do your research and you listen to a lot of the Black Lives Matters and they talk about how there's a prison to the pipeline to prison system where you're not educating kids and that they're just,
right.
We want to keep them public because we know that we have accountability and that we're going to do everything that we possibly can to make sure, because those kids, my kids are in those schools with other teachers and I'm out here to support for my kids that are not, that are LA Unified students.
Okay. You guys want to chime in? Are you guys? No? No?
Don't be shy,
cool.
Gene.
Yeah, you can talk.
I'm going to get you. Terrell, Gene's be shy.
I kind of want to add to that.
I definitely
think it's an outrage that more money is going to inmates than it is to our students, and it's backwards. It definitely shows. I think having taught for the 6 years that I've had the privilege of teaching for, I'm under-resourced at times. My first gig teaching I had, this takes us to another topic. I mean, I want to stay on what we're talking about, but I had 72 kids for over 3 weeks in my class.
Wow.
Not enough seats. And because it was my first gig, you know, you gotta not say anything and deal with it until, you know, the administration can figure it out. And so there's definitely a need for improving the profession, but this strike is not just about the teaching profession on a whole. It's a bigger picture. It's really about our schools and the system of education, and really Los Angeles needs to be a leader, not only in the state, and I don't even think nationwide, but I think worldwide. Los Angeles should be a leader in education.
Yeah, and I may be jumping the gun, Robert, but I think it's common knowledge that everyone feels, obviously you guys as teachers are perhaps the most important profession for our society. And everyone, it seems, at least everyone I talk to, know that you guys, in my opinion, are underpaid. Your role is that important, right? Teachers I know are always at stores purchasing things and crayons and marketing for the betterment of their kids. They want the best for the kids. Otherwise, I don't believe you would be a teacher. You know what I mean? You guys are the ones who care about the kids. How does that not transfer into results? Like, why? Where's the disconnect? What are we doing as a society? Is there a general message that's getting lost to make sure that what do we screw up?
Where's the disconnect?
Well, yes,
I think the disconnect comes from, you know, it's economic. You know, our students a majority of them, Gene probably knows the stats better than me, but we have a large population of homeless students. We have a large population of students that have come from single family homes. Mm-hmm. We are a majority Title I, meaning that we receive free and federal lunch. Mm-hmm. Our students don't have that normal life. So they need, when we talk about having 72 students in a classroom, even when the superintendent is saying, oh, we'll drop it by two. So you're telling me I'm going to go from 45 to 43. So now you're giving me 30 seconds to spend with each kid. Rather than a minute.
It's so disheartening.
Well, think about this. So all you got to do is think about where you went to school.
Yeah.
Would 40 kids fly at Buckley?
No way. No way. And it shouldn't fly. It shouldn't fly. You know, if this is how we're going to prepare our next generation, we have to take a serious look at what we're doing.
That's right.
You know? Let me say this. I didn't know much about the strike. And I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Most people who may be for the superintendent and the educational side may say, they're just being greedy. They just want a pay increase. But I think it's important for you guys to articulate and say what it is also you're fighting for. You know what I mean? Because I'm going on record. This is me talking. This isn't them. They are underpaid. That's just flat out what it is.
Well, I can tell you for me, and I'm going to be very simple because I want them to experience to be able to chime in because I talk too much. That's my New Year's resolution.
I love it.
Keep talking.
Yeah.
Try to get you know, great one.
But for me, I think it's very important that we have worked our tails off to get here. I think when you're looking at people and they look at teachers, it's the relationships we've built with those families. Mm. They trust us. They trust us. We need to retrain these kids in how to be successful. Mm. They're coming from social media where it's changing them. They're shy. We shared a book. We're reading a book together, The Lost Art of Conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't speak. So you're telling me that the kids that get the most help in a classroom, they're the ones who are the loudest and that the loudest kid gets the help the most.
50,000 people have been striking.
Heck yeah.
On a day.
It's just not teachers. It's families, parents, grandparents, everybody.
And keep in mind that the superintendent, especially on Monday, said that there was only 3,500 teachers in downtown LA. We were there.
Yeah.
This was a large number of educators.
And parents, not only was it a large number, it's pouring here. It's been raining.
Oh, we were there.
And it never rains in Southern California.
So Tony.
As Los Angelians, we don't really like to go out when it rains. So to imagine how much bigger it could have been, but at the same time, the fact that it was already this number with the rain is equally as impressive, you know? So I feel for you guys, and I don't know exactly what the route is to make change, because I'm on the side with the kids, you know what I mean? And you guys are fighting. I'm hearing there's no full-time nurses at...
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah,
you know what?
Talk to me.
About the nurses situation, we were talking earlier. My sons used to be, both of my sons used to be in LAUSD schools, elementary schools, and I pulled them out actually because of a nurse situation, a disagreement I had with the principal. They only had at that school, which is Oxnard Elementary, put them on the spot, they only had a nurse for 2 days out of that week. And so when my son got hurt, the school, he just scraped his knee, right? The school had this policy where they wouldn't allow the kids to run anymore. And so I had an issue with that. I spoke to the principal and I told him, I was like, obesity is a huge issue here. How can you stop kids from running and make it a consequence? I'm not lying. It was a consequence for kids to run on this campus. And the argument was, oh, well, we don't have a nurse. And so I told him, so let me get this straight. You only want the kids to get hurt on Tuesdays and Thursdays when the nurse is here? Like, do my kids got a plan when to get hurt? Is that what it is?
That's the reality.
And that's enough to drive a story, in my opinion. Like, that should be...
That's enough.
To have a nurse twice a week? So what happens if your kid gets sick?
Wait. But the best part is that the other days, if you want it, you get to pay for it.
Well, let me
out of your own budget.
But let me add to that, though. Let me add to that in terms of what happens when the nurse is not there. So my son's mom is... she used to be an office tech at her school site. And when the nurse wasn't there and the kid got hurt, it was her responsibility. I mean, and I mean, she's a loving person, but she was not a trained, qualified individual to handle that. And even she knew it. She's like, I'm dealing with bloody noses. Some kid came with a messed up finger. It was like completely split open.
And she,
and it's like, what is she going to do? And that's her job. And the thing is, these are things that people don't know.
Wow.
You know, and it's the lack of exposure of the truth of why we're striking. It's not just about a pay raise. We're talking about having some serious nurses to be there to take care of our kids when they get hurt. Kids should be allowed to run. Let them run like crazy.
No, they shouldn't be allowed. They need to run.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, studies have shown. I mean, come on, the benefits.
So, yeah. All right, we have a call. Who's on the line with us today?
Hi, it's Meredith. And I first want to say I really appreciate you guys having this show. With me being in the education field, just moving to California, I am trying to get an understanding of everything, and what's crazy, I right now I'm in a graduate program for teacher education, and the class I'm taking right now are the different complications and circumstances that we are experiencing. So for this strike to take place, I've really been following it, but you guys actually gave me more information, because my biggest question was with the strike. First, I would like to say I do commend the teachers for standing up for this. But when I was watching the news, one of the issues that got to me was the students that did go to school, they came out and said, well, we don't know why we're here because we're not doing anything. We're going to the auditorium. We're watching movies that we've seen already. So it let me believe, want to know, actually understand, okay, I understand the teachers are striking, but they said they have 50 kids in the class. But I was like, it seemed like the kids are learning something better than nothing. But I know that sounds contradictory because the teachers are doing this for the kids. But at the same time, I just feel the students are impacted the most, which the whole thing is about them. But I don't know. What do you, how do you guys, do you guys understand what
I'll start
saying?
It.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I'll start it. So I think, we, if anything, we want to make sure that we support the students. That's the main reason why we're doing it. We feel that at the end, once we get all these resources, it's going to make their learning a lot better. As far as what learning, see, the difference is when you have a teacher in the classroom, and I can only speak from the teachers that I'm looking at in front here. My students don't watch movies and they don't watch videos. We're engaged in deep reading. We're coding. We are having conversations. We are using 21st century skills. Those are the things that teachers do, and those are the things that we pass on to our students. And there's no possible way that any kid who's going to school is getting any of that rigor in their classrooms. Mm. Anyone want to add?
Yeah, I'd definitely like to add to that. And first of all, Meredith, I want to commend you on your profession choice. And thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Really quickly, while we were here, I got a message from one of my friends that I went to high school with. And she's asking me, like, you know, Rob, do I send my son to school? Because I haven't sent him, like, the last couple of days. I didn't send him today. Like, they're giving them packets to do, and none of them want to do it. They just put movies for them. And I told her, I was like, look, I cannot tell you what to do. Like that's not my place. But what I can say is, if you don't feel that your son's getting anything from going while the teachers are absent, the best statement you can make is by not sending him. Mm. And the reality is, I would feel that he would get more at home during this complicated time by you providing him with things that he could read on his own, do on his own. Because if he's just going to be in a room watching some video that he could essentially watch at home, he can get more at home. And in terms of the impact, Meredith, the fact is, it's a bigger picture. We're talking, we have no idea how long this strike's going to go, but we're talking about a bigger picture. We're talking about reducing class sizes. Mm-hmm. These class sizes essentially need to be reduced. We don't have the resources for some of the sizes of the classes that we have. I can tell you right now, I have to share textbooks with my students. Like, I only have enough for one textbook for every two in my room. Now, by standards, that's okay. Like, they have all the textbooks. They have textbooks at home, definitely. But I'm not going to have my kids lug these textbooks around. They have seven other classes they got to get to. And so there's definitely, like, a lot of consideration. So, like I said, there's a bigger picture. It's the needs of the many. And we're talking not just this year. We're talking, like, a decade from now. Like, we're talking about a big impact.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to, TJ, if you don't mind me saying this one real quick thing. The one thing I do appreciate that they're striking for, and my child actually did go to a charter school. I do feel that the system should not, public school system should not be giving as much money to charter schools. I think that should come from private funding. I think it is taken away from what the public schools need. But once again, I really appreciate this conversation. I want to appreciate you guys for being teachers. And TJ, good job with this one.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you so much, Meredith. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Do you guys want to follow up? I would like to say something
real
quick.
Please.
I think you got to sometimes take that short-term pain. And when I say this, I'm saying it as a parent, as if my child was in the LAUSD district, I would be okay with my kid sitting out. You know, I got to stand with the educators, the ones who are on the front lines, the ones who are there. I got to remember they are there for the betterment of my child. They're not there for any other reason. It's not like they're becoming multimillionaires sitting there, you know? So I would stand with them. And if this is what they think is best, that's what I'm doing, you know? And the stats and the facts are there.
Correct.
Any class size for a child over really 30 is an issue to me.
Huge.
You know what I mean? Not having nurses is an issue. You know what I mean? So I don't want, and bless your wife, but I don't want someone who's not trained dealing with a health issue for my child.
No, we completely agree with that.
So I don't know, but we have calls.
Brilliant.
You guys want to
take them?
Okay, we're gonna keep taking them. All right,
Dude, we're always the number one show on.
Shoot.
All right, thank you for calling the Power of Love. Who's joining us right now?
Hi, this is Ebony from Texas.
How you doing, Ebony?
How are
Ebony?
You all doing today?
Good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Life is blessed.
Yeah. First and foremost, I know it's late. Happy New Year to everyone. Second, I am so glad you're talking about this because I just learned about the strike, and it's very interesting because over here in Texas, we're basically, in our education system, we're basically going through the same problems, but, you know, there hasn't been word about any strikes coming up.
Right.
With that in mind, like I was saying, we're basically right behind y'all. We're like the second biggest state in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely understand because I've seen and know people who are going through the same things without like shortage on resources and, you know, not having enough people. Matter of fact, there is a shortage of teachers in the school district that I live in right now.
Who wants to teach? Who'd want to teach?
Yeah. We're not.
I'm a substitute teacher. So and I'm actually subbing at a different district now.
Yeah. Well, Ebony, No, I was just going to say thank you for calling in and giving that outside perspective, you know, and I think, mm-hmm. Louis, you said it right. It's like we're not providing you guys the proper materials and the proper tools to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? So imagine if we're not doing that, the morale of the person who's in the room with your child, you know, no matter how strong that person is, it's not going to be the best it can be, you know, and I think that's where we as a parent who has nothing to do with the education system has to kind of rally behind that to make sure our kids are taken care of. So, but Annie, again, thank you for your phone call. Did you have a quick question for them or you just wanted to make that comment?
I kind of have a question.
Let's hear.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, but basically from someone who does not live in California, but has seen and experienced what's going on. I mean, I guess what I want to ask is do you want this to like have a big impact, not just affecting you, but everyone else in the country?
I'll answer that. This is Robert, and thanks for your call, Ebony.
I might have phrased that wrong,
We got it. We're ready. I definitely want this to have not only a national impact, but really I want everyone to look at what we're doing here in LA. I want the exposure, but I want it to be a positive one where people see that it's not just about raises. And that discussion needs to go out the window. It's a big picture where we're talking about being able to really teach, being able to reach these kids. That the adult to student ratio right now is absurd in our school district. It is absolutely absurd. We need to be able to help these kids and work with these kids. A lot of them who have, challenges, they have a lot of emotional, mental issues. We need the nurses. we need the counselors. We need people to help us get our job done, like in an effective way. And we're talking about just changing lives. Like this is, as a teacher, you have this, as you should already know, Ebony, like you have this amazing gift, opportunity to mm-hmm. tap into a life. And when you're there for a year, like it's, you tap into that life for a year. And then when you let them go, it's like you let a part of yourself go, you know? And if I have 72 kids in a room, 45, as other teachers are saying, in a room, like I can't give enough of myself to each one.
Correct.
And that's so what the true, issue man. Is.
Ebony, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
No problem. You're welcome. And I appreciate, you know, what you guys are doing, because it's not just people in California. Everybody's paying attention, especially over here in Texas. Trust me, we know what you're going through.
We feel the love.
We're
thank you.
We're experiencing the same things. Yeah. You guys cool. are. So you definitely have my support.
Thank you, Ebony.
Thank you.
You know, TJ, when you,
thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
TJ, you know, when you think about it, you know, one of our history teachers was talking it from a perspective of history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this country was built on unions, you know, supporting that type of worker, because it is the backbone. When you look at all the people that are out there that were marching downtown, that's money that gets spent into this economy, mm-hmm. right? All of that. Mm. So it's a very important profession, and it's a professional profession that I think that we've kind of just said, oh, you know what? It's babysitting. Right. No. Yeah, it's not what we are anymore.
All right. Well, the calls are coming in, so I'm going to keep answering them. Thank you for calling The Power of Love. Who do we have on the line with us?
Yeah. Hi, this is Michael from New York City.
Hey, Michael.
How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. Good.
That's good. Well, I didn't know anything about the strike in L.A. until I started listening to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was thinking, like when I went to school, they used to give us a curriculum of what we're going to learn that year in the class.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, couldn't like the students learn what they're supposed to and get help from the parents, and then when they get back to school, then they'll at least be ahead of the game?
That's an amazing question. Gene, you want to answer that? I'm going to let you call. Come on.
You know, in education now, there's something called personalized learning, where you can actually present students with curriculum. But one of the things that we've learned as educators that is extremely important, that as human beings, Homo sapiens, we're relational creatures. And questions come up, there are gaps in learning. And when teachers build intimate relationships with students and you make a connection, that's where real learning takes place. And so yes, you know, you can provide curriculum in written form. There's a lot of curriculum that is digital. But because I think as educators, our belief that interaction matters. And I think even everything we do in life, it comes down to the relationships you build. That's what happens in the classroom every day. And I think those are great points. I think we can definitely try to keep kids working on curriculum. But with this strike, I think you can't underscore the importance of the relationships students have with the relationships teachers have with their students.
Yeah,
you know, and don't forget, there are some homes are still without internet.
Yeah,
some don't have computers.
No technology.
And a lot of the families we service, like I was saying earlier, their parents are out working.
Yeah.
So when they come home from school, they're cooking dinner and they're helping their younger siblings.
That's a great point, Lou. One of the important things we have to understand, especially we have 80% of our students come from low socioeconomic homes. Parent, like your point, the parents may not have the education that's actually necessary to help tutor their children. That happens a lot within our classrooms. And so, you know, no matter how much they love them, they provide for them, but they don't have the educational level to provide that assistance.
And we deal with, as you know, Michael, you're a listener, but you know, we deal with a lot of kids that are going through crazy issues.
Yeah.
And when I say crazy, you know, it's just
two teenage years. That's enough.
Even that, but even with loss, you know, who may not have that parent there or that have that family support. So if it's not your family, then it's got to be, in a way, your teacher.
Correct.
You know, and That's my big thing, you know, because I think, Louie, you know, it's something that I've been considering. I got a lot of kids, and I've been considering homeschooling, primarily because I've seen a decline, not in the love from you guys, but from the ability from the system to take care of them. You know what I mean? And
I hear you.
And it's unfortunate because some of my greatest memories are from childhood teachers. You know, there's no one who's I have my C best. I've done. I want to be a teacher. Yeah. So it's just I'm concerned with the direction of our schools, and I applaud you guys really genuinely for doing this.
If I can just leave Michael with food for thought. For me, Michael, those kind of individually paced curriculums, I think that the downside, if any, really would be that just because you complete a program online doesn't mean you actually learned anything. So are we talking about task completion? Or are we talking about really building future American citizens that are going to make this country truly better?
Yeah.
Right. So, but here's another question. How about, like, I mean, if they have the money, because I know it's probably a little expensive, but like tutors.
You're saying for the individual families?
For the kids. Like when I went to high school, my parents always got me a tutor to help me with my schoolwork.
Yeah.
That kind
of
helped.
I mean, I understand. I just, like what Gene said, 80% of these kids are low, you know, socioeconomical families where they can't afford that.
They can't afford that.
They're struggling.
Tutoring is between if they're going to have food from the refrigerator or...
Yeah. Or, you know, so they got to choose the food.
Clothes in
the
bed.
Or the shelter. Yeah. So it's an unfortunate situation, but I really... Yeah.
This may be a crazy thought, but at our school site, one of the things that we are tasked as teachers to do, we actually provide breakfast in the classroom.
That's right.
To 100% of our students. Not only that, our students after school, as part of the federal lunch program, also receive what is called supper. And so just think of the students that we are serving. We're there meeting not only their physical needs, but we're trying to meet their emotional and intellectual needs as well at the school site.
Well said. Well said.
And the janitors don't get to clean up because they don't have enough money.
Guess who cleans, fellas?
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, guys. Michael, thank you for chiming in, man.
Thanks, Michael.
Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, and have a happy new year.
You too.
Likewise.
Phones are calling, so I'm going to keep answering.
Let's do it. We're here.
Thank you for calling the Power of Love. Who's with us today?
Hi, this is Alicia.
How are you, Alicia?
Hi, I'm fine.
What do you got for us?
I had two questions. One question is, what would be the end goal for you guys? I mean, because if the issue is money, then what's going to be the end goal to get the teachers back into the school? What would be the solution? What could they say right now that will get you guys back in the classroom?
Well, quite honestly, we're hoping we get to go back tomorrow. That would be ideal, because I think we've kind of, for me personally, I can only talk for myself. I feel as if we've expressed ourselves very well. Now, what has to happen is they need to negotiate. Don't give me a 6% raise. I'll take less of a raise, but make sure that contract number 1.5 is adapted so we don't have to worry about class sizes anymore. Because they can say they're going to keep it at a specific number cap, but it never stays at that. Yeah. There's always a clause that allows you to, but in time of need, you can go up to whatever you need. Those are there's always little things that you can get out of. And so I think we're holding firm on the class size reduction. I think they've met the needs of the nurses. Our question is, all of a sudden all this money is coming through. It's been 12 months of negotiating. This could have been avoided. That's the part that frustrates me.
2 years.
Two years?
Yeah, it's been 2 years. And the thing is, we're trusting our union with this in terms of handling it. And the union has to, and I'm not sure if you know this, but they ended up pushing back the date for the strike. It was supposed to be last Thursday when we started. And then the district was trying to stop that from happening, and the union actually gave a bit of a leave, a little extension to start the strike and kick it off, with the hopes that there could be a negotiation, like really, like some improvements in what the offers were being made, and the district just they've been really disrespectful. They've been really neglecting the union, and I think we are very fortunate to have a union that is as strong as it is, and its strength can be shown in its numbers. When you look at downtown LA, covered in red, like we are out there, like in the rain, like we are out there.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback something.
Yeah,
if you're out there listening and you want to support, wear red. Red is for Ed, right?
Yeah, red for Ed.
Red for Ed.
I love that. Alicia, what was the other question?
The other question is, besides the district, are you guys getting any type of negative feedback from the parents? Have they been having any issues? And if they have, would you like to address the parents that or people that aren't in support?
For me, I think the message at first was a little bit distorted because it was being put out through media.
Mm-hmm.
I think as we've gotten to this third day and people actually can put faces with those teachers, you know, I think they trust us. They know that we're with their children. We're with those kids day in and day out. When there's a lockdown, when there's a fire drill, we are with those kids. And I think these parents really, really are supporting us for what we're doing. And I think in the end, I think our goal, everyone's goal, is to find a, to get back into the classrooms. Because we are, if my routine is messed up, and we're all big on routines, these poor kids' routines have been messed up, and we need to get them refocused and back to learning.
I've had a lot of experience with parent support since this kind of started. One family offered their parking spot to me since we were not allowed to park on campus or even go on campus. And it was really touching that that family would do that. Like they hadn't, I didn't even ask. It was more like, you know, Mr. Savari, we got you. Like, you know, what do you need? If you need something to eat, you want breakfast, you can come on in earlier. And I mean, if I wasn't at the gym at 6 a.m, like I'd definitely probably be in there having some breakfast in the morning. But today we were outside just earlier in the morning in front of one of the local high schools with thousands of teachers. And the funny thing is I bumped into four of my students out there with their families. And they're like, hey, like we're out here. So I can speak from personal experience with that. We have, I have, parents are on our side.
Yes.
I love that. Alicia, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you. We definitely support you guys because I can certainly understand. I have a 12-year-old in middle school, and it was getting to a point where I was going to take him out of school as well because basically when he comes home, I feel like I have to reteach him everything that he didn't get when he was in school. If he missed something, there's too many kids in the classroom. He feels like, I raised my hand, but she didn't get to me, or correct. I did this, but it didn't happen.
And then they stop raising their hands. That's what happens.
And then they fall through the cracks.
That's right.
And then the system continues, and the cycle continues. Yes, it's absurd.
With 30 kids, they all learn differently.
Yeah. Correct.
And I just don't feel like they get that attention that they need. So I definitely am behind you guys. I'm trying to stay positive and keep them in the school system, but it's getting to a point where I'm thinking about homeschooling as well.
Yeah.
Thank you,
because I see the effect that it's having on the children.
We hear you. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to add real quick, because one of the big things that, you know, we are talking about are charter schools as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a lot of confusion on them, right? I'm not an expert on it, but I do know that they have the possibility of selecting some of their students, right? They are selective of their students, which means it completely does not, I won't say allow for, but, you know, my teammates program with my students with disabilities, we get who we get, and we service those kids, and we make it the best education, the best learning experience for them. We don't get to pick and choose who we get. We're not going out and,
well, it's not a lottery.
We are a public school that when your child comes in, whether they have an IEP, whether they're severely handicapped, whether they have some sort of learning differences, we are going to not turn them away, and we are going to, whether they're proficient in English or not, we're going to make them better every day. And that's what a public school is supposed to do.
I love it. I have a question. So there are things will cost. Reducing class sizes will cost. Getting a full-time nurse will cost. I had heard, and I don't know, is there a fund? Is there where would this money come from? And what's the teachers preaching in terms of the strategy in terms of how to solve this? Do we know? Is it above us?
Well, so I'll just be honest. We're just pawns in all of this.
Yeah.
We don't have access to that kind of information. From what we all on the line, what we talk about is, you know, we're not 6% is fine with us. You want to give us five, whatever. What we want to know is that there's going to be money for a nurse, not just for this year, but for next year. Mm-hmm. We are also willing to commit to working together to go to Sacramento and be like, look, this is what needs to happen for the kids.
Yeah.
More important, we're even to rally behind a property tax.
Yeah.
Let's rally behind something, you know, let's not tax teachers. I don't know. But the only way this is going to be solved and legitimately solved is if the people, the citizens, people of LA, when it's time to vote, when it's time to elect a school board member, that you actually start listening to what we are telling you that's going to help us. Because at the end of the day, we don't get that control. It's a bunch of other people making decisions for what's supposed to happen in our classrooms.
How does the general person who wants to support you guys, how do they support?
Robert?
Wearing red is like one small step. Like you can do that. But I mean, truthfully, becoming informed. I think one of the things that concerned me once the strike kind of started was so many parents had no idea a strike was going to happen. So prior to the strike, during the winter break, when I was out shopping, I'd bump into families of my students, and they'd be like, "Oh, how's it going?" And I'd mention it, like, "Have you heard about the strike at all?" And none of them, not one of the parents, and I bumped into seven different families, had any idea there was a strike going on.
Wow.
And so I think being informed, you know, when it comes time to vote, knowing what you're voting for, knowing what's on the ballot, so that you can help make an impact, especially in education. Going back to what you talked about, though, in terms of money, my dad has a saying, you know, how much does peace of mind cost? And at the end of the day, let me just share a little story,
yeah,
a little background story. So I think everyone becomes a teacher for different reasons. My reason for being a teacher actually comes down to my dad. Even Gene earlier was like, "Savari, were you in the military?" And every time people see me, they see how I walk or any of that, you know, they're like, "Are you in the military?" And it's like, no, but that's the road not taken. I actually had thought about joining the Marines just out of high school. And, you know, I spoke to a recruiter and everything seemed to be going. And I remember my dad, he sat with me and he's like, "You know, Rob, I want to talk to you." He's like, "If you want to go, you know, being the Marines, you're going to be an amazing like Marine. You know, I was an Eagle Scout. Like I had a lot of experience, you know, being outdoors. Like I'm good to go." He's like, "But there's another fight going on, son." Now this is back in 2003.
Wow.
So he's like, "There's another fight going on, son. And it's a fight that no one talks about. And it's the fight in education, in our schools. And we need you. Like you are a really, really good person working with those kids. Like, get in that fight, son. And I promise you, like, it'll change your life." And I'm right now sitting here at LA Talk Radio, you know, in the middle of a strike. And I am in the front lines. We are in the front lines. We have been in the front lines even before the strike. Like, yeah, every day that we get up, we get to work. You know, we have hurdles and challenges. We have all kinds of memos and expectations that we have to complete that no one ever talks about. And the reality is that it is a very difficult profession. But definitely funding needs to come from somewhere to really not make it easier for teachers, but make it more meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to close it soon.
Of course.
But first of all, and I should be saving this towards the very end, yeah. But my memory's the worst, Robert. So I'm going to say it now. But Terrell's, he got disconnected, but he's listening.
Good.
And he wants to thank you guys for joining.
Oh, yeah.
Tell him what's up.
And what he
up,
wants T? To know.
I'll see you Friday.
He's thanking you guys for the knowledge and what you do.
Of course.
And he's supporting you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Before I let you guys go, though, I want to give you guys each 30 seconds, a minute, to say whatever it is you want to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So cool. Go ahead. We'll start with you,
Lou. I'll be quick because it's just, you know, 10 years ago, Gene and I started on that mission. It's on YouTube, you know, my Kindle the Passion video. And in it, I said it's going to be a school that my daughter's going to come to.
Mm.
I wasn't able to do it for my first one for Dylan,
yeah.
But Charlie will be there, you know. And what's amazing is I have my teachers telling me, "Oh, we got her. Don't you worry. We got her. We'll take care of this." That's why I am a public school teacher, because just like you have my back, the brotherhood, these guys I trust with everything, because we're in the same fight every single day.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Gene, anything you want to just leave the show with?
I don't have very many things to say.
It's okay. Anything.
Go ahead, Gene. But
he's
you know
the,
what?
He's the silent, my thinker.
when all this is over, the real work happens at
at the local school site. And no, if your children go to a public school, you need to understand how schools run, and hold teachers, not only teachers accountable, but hold administration accountable to how they run those schools.
Correct.
Because at the end of the day, it's about what happens at a local school site. All of these things are so big for us, but the quality of education your children will get, it's based on the leadership at the school site. Administrators allowing teachers to be part of the decision-making process. And that's one of the most important things that's dear to my heart. And that's what Lou and I have fought for under Kindle the Passion, and as we've tried to build the best school possible.
That's great. Robert?
And for me, I'm big right now. I'm on a big movement, on a personal movement. I'm on a journey that I'd love to invite all teachers to, all educators out there, all future educators, about becoming what I call fit educators. And it really is this idea of becoming a model to your students, to your community. I wake up every morning. My students already know, like, Mr. S is at the gym from 6 to 7 before I go to work. And I get to work and I hustle and I work and I don't complain about no breaks. I don't do none of that. During my breaks, I'm tutoring students. Most lunch, I'm working with students or doing dances at our school or some sort of random event that I'm doing. I am all about the grind. And I think that's what, I'm very fortunate to have colleagues that are also about that hustle. But yeah, look me up on Instagram.
Cool. What is the Instagram?
My Instagram is my first and last name together.
Robert?
R-O-B-E-R-T-S-A-L-V-A-R-I, Robert Salvari. And I'd appreciate that, yeah.
Cool. Any other handles, anything you guys want to promote?
Nah, dude, you can find me with TJ.
There we go.
Again, I don't have any kids in the LAUSD district, but I thank you guys.
No, TJ, thank you.
For having us.
This platform and allowing, it means the world so that I can bring a couple of my teachers that you it's different when you just have me and, this is the real stuff that I'm fighting for.
Well, our phones were blowing up.
Good.
I didn't even get to all my questions. I still can go on and on, but if hopefully it doesn't, hopefully things get solved and you guys get what you feel these kids deserve. But if not next Wednesday, you guys are more than welcome to come back. This is an important thing, man. This is all about the kids, and all of us love our kids.
Period.
So that's priority number one.
Boom.
And we got to make sure we provide a safe place where they can live, grow up, learn, and run around and get hurt.
Run and get hurt.
And get helped. You know what I mean? So we're all on board and we're all on the same team. And again, I just commend you guys for joining. All right, so thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that's our show. If you guys want to, first of all, you got to wear red. We've established that.
Red for red.
But also, utla.net is a site where you can get some information on what the teachers feel they need to do and what they need to help these kids out. So please make sure you guys go join. Go see the site, and we'll see you guys next week. Please make sure. What else was I going to say? I was going to say something, but Taj, feel better with your daughter. Terrell, feel better with your sickness. Taj, take care of your girl. I love you guys, and again, spreading love. Congratulations on your guys' effort to stay strong, and don't give up that fight.
No. Thank you.
All right. Adios. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.